invite you to speak this morning. Father, even beyond the words that are prepared, I ask that your voice be heard. Lord, if we move out of the way, you might be exalted. Lord, would you saturate this place? Let there come an overflow of the abundance of your heart. Find in this place a people who hear and move us. Move us, Holy Spirit. Receive the glory. In Jesus' name. Last week we looked at what Scripture says about being made perfect in the Spirit. We began with the Scripture about God completing what He started in us. Just to read it again, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul writes, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." God is going to complete the work he started. He's going to finish it. Hallelujah. You might not be finished yet, but he's going to finish the work. But I also remind you that it's the work that he started and not the things that we started. There's a difference. We also looked at the scripture where Paul seems to be a little bit disappointed at a church in Galatia. A church that had apparently lost sight of all the things that they had received and that God had started in them from the beginning. They had experienced a spiritual beginning. As have we, if we've been born again, we have a spiritual beginning. But if we're not careful, it would become an easy thing for us to lose sight of the fact of what God is doing, of all the things that he wants to do, and all that he has promised to complete. The church in Galatia had experienced that spiritual beginning, but somehow they had turned back to relying upon themselves. So the apostle upbraids them for their attempts to fix all the problems and to gain their maturity by their own understanding and their own abilities. In Galatians 3:3, he said, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" Now, for far too many contemporary believers, that question still applies because it's still the case among many. Modern doctrinal teaching has failed to instruct the believer of the importance of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there are churches that seem to, that's the only message they have is one of the Holy Spirit, but yet I've experienced many of those worship services among churches that the only message they've got is the Holy Spirit. They demand it, they command it, anybody else is wrong, and yet you look at their lives, and the very things that they demand and the very things that they command is far from what they live. And I don't want for us to go there. Others just totally ignore the Holy Spirit. They teach a salvation in Jesus Christ, and I believe that message. But when it starts touching on the work of the Holy Spirit, they want to just skip over that part of the Bible and leave it out altogether. He's just left completely out of the mix. And even the vast majority of those who still recognize his existence seemingly want to limit his involvement to some mystical thing that takes place at the conversion, at the born-again experience. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one that brought you there, but then once that was done, once that had taken place, he just pulled away. You don't need him anymore because you got everything you needed at that point. That's not what I see in Scripture. For these, the rest of the Christian life and the rest of their Christian existence and walk is left either to chance or to natural strengths and the willpower of the believer. And for those of you who have tried that route, you're going to understand that you don't get very far with your natural abilities and understandings. You don't serve the Lord God out of your own strengths. Yes, you cooperate with what He's doing, but you don't get to the point that He wants to take you in your own strengths or accomplishments. Without His power in your life, you don't get where He's taking you. We need Him. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? For those of us who have had a spiritual beginning, it doesn't matter when that beginning was. If it was last Sunday or last month, the beginning of last year, or if it's been years and years and years, you don't outgrow your need for His presence in your life. You cannot mature without Him. Even with Him, it's sometimes a struggle because there will be daily challenges where He comes to you and begins to rearrange priorities. And something on the inner man has to step out of the way and say, okay, have your way. And if you don't, then there's a stalemate there. You will not grow beyond the point where you allow Him to have His way in your life. Taking over and trying to do it your way only stops His work. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Our growth into mature believers is only possible through the work of the Holy Spirit. And with that being the case, shouldn't we place a very high emphasis on cultivating a relationship? The words of the song, which I had never even heard before this morning, is, the team came up right before I spoke was about deepening and cultivating a relationship. It should be the very heart cry to know Him. And even after we know Him, the heart cry should be, I want to know You more. Because He is the source of life. He is the source of your maturing, your growth. Seems only natural for a believer to become extremely diligent in seeking out the will of God. You know, He's given us a promise that we can find Him. He doesn't hide Himself from us. A very familiar scripture, Jeremiah 29, verse 12. He writes, then you will call upon Me and go and pray to Me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. As the prophet pens the very words that he hears from God, he says, you will seek Me and you will find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. Understand, our Lord isn't talking about some casual approach. It's not like bargain shopping. Anybody ever been with a friend or relative that goes bargain shopping and they live to shop, but when they go shopping, they have nothing in mind. They just want to see what's available. And they walk in circles in stores all day long, going around and around and around a rack. And you think, finally, it's close to being over. And then they say, well, no, it's not good enough. And they walk to the next rack and go circles around it, not really looking for anything unless something just really grabs them. And if something really grabs them and it's a good deal, maybe they'll make a purchase. But for them, it's just looking. You know anybody who's just looking? Well, in the spiritual realm, there's a lot of people who are just looking. They're looking to see if there's something better, something different, something more affordable. It doesn't cost me as much this way. But they're not diligent in their searching. God said, you will seek Me and you'll find if you search with all your heart. It's not casual. It's not just a trip to the mall. It's looking for something specific and putting everything you've got into it. His admonition to us is to seek with all our hearts. And He gives us a promise, we will find. Where else are you going to get a deal like that? You seek, you will find. And it's not just His person He wants you to find. He doesn't just want you to find His person. Whoop, now you've seen Me. That's good. We're like that. Whoop, seen it, been there, done it, bought the t-shirt. I'm good. Let's do something else now. But He wants to reveal things. Reveal things to you that have been hidden from you all your life. Jeremiah 33. Starting in verse 2, it says, thus says the Lord who made it. The Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is His name. Call to Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. There's a promise that you're not just going to find Him, but when finding Him, He's going to reveal things. The church has been walking in darkness and in blindness for too long. They come to a place where they think they know about Him, and it's enough. And He says, I want you to find Me, because I'm going to reveal to you the things that have been hidden, the things that you have needed, the things that you have longed for. Call to Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. The church is missing it. We are missing it. There are many things that are given to us as children of God. Scriptures are full of promises made to those who are heirs of the kingdom and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. However, we don't always understand how to fulfill the role that we've received. How many of you know that you are a blood-bought child of God, adopted into His kingdom? We understand that truth in principle, but we don't know how to go about living it out as though it were a manifest example to the world. We understand He said that about us. We might claim it, quote it, just like the name it and claim it crew does. That's mine. It's mine. Walk around, lay hands on it. But until we're actually walking it out and living it, what good does our vocal command do for us? This is like the people who are claiming the vehicle that's out in the parking lot, laying hands on it. In the name of Jesus. They get real spiritual in those prayers. By faith, this one's mine. And yet until it's actually in their hands and they've got the key and the title, what good did all of their claiming do them? Well, in the same way, those that know that they've been told by Scripture that they are a child of God, and yet they don't live as though they were a child of God, are they still doing the same thing as the Name It and Claim It crew are doing? God has more for us. He has more for you. He has more for me. I know He does. And that's the reason I'm stirred, because I'm tired of living below what God said I can live. I'm tired of not walking in the paths that He's called me to walk in. I'm tired of not being the carrier, the manifester of His abundant glory, so that the world sees and falls on their face as they did anywhere He went. There are people hurting out there. There are people broken. He didn't choose another plan. He chose you. You are the ones to manifest His glory. You are the ones to take the message to the world. He said, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father. How many of us have seen the greater works? Was that just a cool phrase that He put in Scripture? Do you think God didn't mean what He said? And if He meant it, why aren't we manifesting it? Questioning myself. Maybe you should be questioning yours, your motives, where you're at. We don't always know the source of the crisis that comes our way. And in the midst of our crisis, do we know how to respond? Do we still have faith when we're going through the big challenges? Or do we crumble? He said, I've made you more than conquerors. How many of you have felt like conquerors when you were going through your biggest challenges and your biggest trials? Think about it. Don't get mad at me. Am I meddling? We don't know how to deal with the situations that we find ourselves in. And when we go through those challenges, often we're at a loss. Because we don't understand the things that He's given us. But He wants to reveal the things He has given us. Does everybody believe? Are we on the same page? He wants to reveal what He's given you. He says, seek me and you'll find. If you seek for me with all your heart, call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. You don't know. We don't know. But He's the one that can show you. He holds all the answers that we're searching for. The psalmist gives similar advice in Psalm 25. It says, who is the man that fears the Lord? Him he shall teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Psalmist says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Do you understand he reveals secret things to you? Is he able to reveal secret things? That's what he says. Things that are hidden to the natural mind. Things that cannot be perceived through the flesh. God makes them available to those who fear him. It says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Anybody need to know some secrets? God makes them available to those who fear. To those who are reverent and obedient to the things that he reveals. It's something that's being lost on a continual basis with each generation. Reverence and obedience seems to be further and further away. Our culture, our lifestyle, our society is losing reverence altogether. They've lost reverence for parents. They've lost reverence for authorities. They've lost reverence for God. It's even evident in church. Especially in church. Thank you for helping us. You can say stuff that I get in trouble for. Especially in church. You know, when I was growing up, and, you know, some of you look at me and say, that was a long time ago. Doesn't seem like that long ago to me. When I was growing up, and consider I was growing up in a traditional church, the things that we do every week and call it fellowship would have been forbidden. To carry a cup of coffee into the sanctuary. And understand, it doesn't really bother me if you're drinking coffee the whole time I'm speaking. Okay. Yes, you were. I got this from you, remember? I don't want to get in trouble after service. I mean, people didn't so much as chew gum during church. They didn't get up constantly and go to the bathroom. Oh, he's gone to meddling again. They didn't stand in the back and carry on a conversation because there was a reverence for God. There was a reverence for God. And there was an obedience even by the rebellious. Even the rebellious were obedient in church. Until it was over. But respect and reverence have been lost in our culture. Scripture says the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. It's not a trembling in the corner, terrified fear, but a reverence and a respect and an obedience to Him. And it says the secret of the Lord is with them who fear Him. He speaks into the midst of a situation where people take notice that He is. Growing up in church, I remembered Him as the God who was. But He's the God who is. He's to the moment. He's precisely here and now. And those who respect Him as here and now, it normally has an impact on the way they react with reverence. If He's just a far off, distant God, it's okay if we just come in any way we want to, with whatever cares and concerns and bad attitudes. But if He's here and now, if He's still holy and still sovereign and still glorious, those that are reverent have a different attitude as they draw near. And it says He reveals His secrets to them. He reveals secrets. He says, I will show them My covenant. I will show them My covenant. That's more than just teaching a doctrine about covenant. It's Him revealing a covenant. Revealing to you His choice of relationship with you. I will show them My covenant. It's not such an unusual thing for God to reveal deep things to men. It's not an unheard of thing. It's not some weird, strange thing for God to reveal the hidden things. There have been numerous occasions when He revealed hidden truths even to those that weren't looking for Him. He reveals hidden truths to those who are running in rebellion and opposition to Him. Such is the case many times when He spoke to His people through the prophets. They were rebellious. They were backslidden at best. They were worshiping idols. They were choosing their own way. They were writing their own laws. And yet God, through the prophets, would come and reveal hidden truths to them. Why would He do that? When Isaiah prophesied, God used him to speak to the rebellious and the obstinate. In Isaiah 48, verse 5, He says, even from the beginning I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you, lest you should say My idol has done them, and My carved image and My molded image have commanded them. You have heard. See all this, and will you not declare it? I have made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. They are created now and not from the beginning and before this day, and you have not heard them, lest you should say, of course, I knew them. As this prophet speaks, he says, I'm revealing new things to you. And if you read the whole context of the chapter that it's written in, he's writing to a backslidden people. They're serving idols, carved images, molded images. He says, you're backslidden. You're rebellious. And yet I've caused you to hear hidden things. I've told you things that are coming. I've revealed truths to you that you didn't know before. If he does this for the backslidden and the rebellious, how much more would he do it for a child who's following him? How much more would he reveal truth, deep hidden truth and secrets to those that are looking for him? He was just speaking the heart of God. I have made you to hear new things. To the rebellious, he says, I've shown you hidden things. I've revealed things you didn't know. He says, they're created now and not from the beginning. And before this day, you've not heard of them. God goes into great lengths to make his people understand that he's the living, powerful God. And his invitation is for people to repent and to draw near him. His purposes in revealing himself or is that people might repent and draw near to him. He would remind his people of his existence before he would judge them for their sin. Because he wanted them to know the reason that they were going through the various punishments. He wanted them to understand before the judgment came why judgment was coming. He wanted them to understand their disobedience. The prophet Amos, chapter 3, verse 6, writes, if a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there's calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. He spoke of impending judgment. He said, when the trumpet sounds in the city, they knew what that meant. The men standing on the walls, the watchmen upon the walls who were looking off in the distance in all directions, standing holding a ram's horn. The blast, if they made it a certain way, meant to close the city gates, prepare the men of war. Attack is coming. And they knew that when the trumpet would blast, what was about to take place. And he says, when the trumpet sounds in the city, will not the people be afraid? If there's a calamity, who did it? Will not the Lord have done it? And then he says, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to the prophets. The people didn't just wake up one morning to the sound of trumpet blasts unaware or unprepared because God had warned them over and over and over again. Because the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals the secret. He does nothing unless he reveals the secret. Let me tell you, God's revealing secrets all around us right now. Our nation is destined for something that none of us want to go through. And it's not just that secular world outside. It's the church that's going to be shaken. They're about to experience some things that they'd rather not participate in. And the Lord has been warning. He's doing nothing without first revealing. And you hear, and I've been hearing for years now, the voice of the Lord speaking through various prophets, through various men of God, and through His Word. He said, you know, I'm going to paraphrase, excuse me for a moment, but He says, you idiots. You know how to discern the signs of the sky. You look at the sky and say, it's red. Whoa, it's going to be a fair day. Or you look at the sky and say, hey, storm's coming. You know how to discern natural things, but you don't even know what time it is. You don't know what's going on. I've been sending you signs all this time that judgment's coming. And you haven't listened. You haven't heard. But all the time He's been revealing His secrets. Let me tell you, the church needs to get into the closet and begin to listen to the secrets. Because the time is here. Because the time is now. He's a God who reveals. He's a God who speaks. Are you a people who are listening? Are you seeking? Before He would bring correction, He would speak to the people through the prophets. Why would He do that? You have to believe it's the heart of God to make Himself known. If it were just a matter of judgment, He could do that without wasting His breath on people who weren't going to listen anyway. You know, as for me, I'd rather not waste my breath. When I'm talking to somebody who I know that's not listening, I generally just quit. Oh, well, you didn't want to hear, you didn't want to listen, so I'm not going to tell you what's about to happen. So there. I'll just keep my secret. But God didn't. He knew they weren't listening, but yet He warned them anyway. And He sent prophet after prophet after prophet, each one with a message. All in the hopes that by revealing Himself, someone might believe. That someone might repent. That someone might turn. Scripture says God gets no pleasure from bringing judgment. Ezekiel 33:11 says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? He didn't want anybody to die. He says, I get no pleasure from it. But that the wicked might repent, that they might turn, that they might live. And so over and over again, He would bring the prophet and He would reveal the secrets before they took place. It's God's heart to see men turn from their sins and live. And in the process, He makes known who He is. Hoping that someone might believe. I praise God that when I wasn't really looking for God, He was really looking for me. When I wasn't trying to hear Him, He was still speaking to me. And to those who respond to His offer of life, He continues to reveal Himself. And again, not just himself. Oh, there's God sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. Cool. He also reveals the truths that he has stored up. Truths that you need. Truths that you need in order to live daily for him. Truths that encourage us. Truths that strengthen us. Truths that move us toward maturity. In the New Testament, Paul spoke of these revealed truths. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. He says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The apostle says, hey, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We speak hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory. He goes on and says, hey, the rulers of this age didn't understand it, because if they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. For thousands of years, the Lord had been revealed through the prophets. For thousands of years, the prophets had spoke and declared what the Messiah would be. What he would look like when he came. What he would and what he wouldn't do. And for years, they had heard those same mysteries spoken. And when he came and he looked just like the mysteries, they didn't receive. Sounds like an American congregation. And he quotes the Old Testament, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You know, God has prepared something for you. He has something prepared for us. Oh, God, I hope this isn't it. Oh, don't let this be what's prepared. But there are so many living their life as though this was it. They get a blessing, or they walk in the goodness of God for a short season and think, wow, we're blessed. This is why God created me, so I could have more stuff. And I need accessories to go with it, so I've got a credit card. And then we walk right back under the curse. Then we've got stuff and the accessories, and we think we're happy until the bill comes. Is that what God has for us? He says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. We haven't figured it out. But he doesn't stop there. He says, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit... Come on, help me. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things or the hidden things of God. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, God's got more for you. And some of you need to change your attitude when you say that. God's got more for you. God's got more for you. And he wants to reveal it to you by the Spirit. He wants to reveal it to you by the Spirit. The apostle exhorts us that the God of creation, the God of mystery, the God of hidden things is still a God who reveals those things. And he reveals them through his Spirit. Those things which are prepared for us, God wants to reveal through the Spirit. He says, the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The deep things of God are available to you. So why are there so many shallow Christians? If the deep things of God are available, why are so many people still in the kiddie pool waiting? The deep things are available. They're available for you. God has made available to you, believers, all manner of deep things, hidden things, spiritual things. And he's a God who still wants you to know about them. He still wants you to know him. He wants you to experience that fullness of life. He's always been the God of revelation. And I'm not just talking about the book that's at the back of the Bible. He's the God of revelation there too, but he's the God who continually reveals. He's always been speaking to his creation. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past, has in these last days still been speaking. That was written 2,000 years ago. Not too many years after the Lord Jesus had been crucified. He said, in these last days the Lord's been speaking to us by his Son. But he goes on to say, the Son has ascended on high and he's set down at the right hand of majesty on high. But let me cause you to understand that he hasn't stopped speaking. The Spirit of God. Jesus said, I'm sending you another helper. He'll be with you and he'll be in you. And he'll reveal to you all things that I have told you. He's still speaking today. And we look again to what the apostle said to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It's an awfully heavy statement. But we have the mind of Christ. It's easy to quote that scripture verse, but there are very few that manifest the truth behind it. But we have the mind of Christ. It's claimed as a promise. It's claimed as a standing that we have as believers. Why do we look at each other and not see that? Could it be that we haven't spent enough time with the Lord to get that mind? Could it be that we haven't been diligently searching? He said, "You'll seek me and find me when you seek with all your heart." He said, "Call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know." Are you living that? I have to confess for myself, there are days when I can say, "Yes, I'm there." But there's a lot of days in between those days. There's a starting point. There's a place where God speaks and we're receptive. But as with everything, there's also a price to pay. You know, the day that the Lord Jesus showed up when I was worshiping, as best I knew how, in a church service, my idea of worshiping Him was singing the songs that everybody else was singing. But on that day, something different happened as Jesus came into the room. And He revealed Himself. There were spiritual truths that day that were spoken into me that I had never comprehended before. It was a day where life began for me. On that day, there was such a hunger within me. I couldn't get enough of Jesus. I couldn't wait for the next time we came together in a corporate service. I couldn't wait for the next time when I knew that the worship team was going to be leading us into praise and worship. I couldn't wait for the next time the preacher opened up his Bible and began to share. I couldn't wait for the next time I would experience that closeness and that fellowship that I had never felt before in my life. I had a hunger, and it was a long time from Sunday until Wednesday. And so I was so hungry for Him, I spent hours in my Bible. Hours waiting for Him to speak. Hours waiting for Him to reveal something that I had never seen before. And let me tell you something, He did. He was faithful. Every time I read the Word, I saw something new. Every time I got into His presence, He touched me. And every day I had an increasing hunger for more. But I can also tell you the fact that sometimes when you're eating, and you're eating your favorite food, and there's a table full of it, and nobody else is there, and there's no limit, you eat and you eat and you eat, and sooner or later you get tired of it. you get accustomed to, well, you know, that's dessert, but I've already ate the whole pie. There's another one, but I'm not hungry anymore. You lose your appetite. And you can look at the same table that had your mouth watering a few moments ago, and suddenly it doesn't make your mouth water anymore. And so many people have come to Jesus the same way. They came to a good thing. There was a hunger there. They started looking for Him, and that's all they could think about. I want my next meal, Jesus. I want my next meal, my next experience with You. But then we lose the hunger. And the word of the Lord to you this morning is there's a lot of people here who are no longer hungry. He has so much He still has to reveal to you. You just saw the front of the table, and He's got more stashed. You haven't even seen some of the things He wants to put on the table. He's got truths for you, deep things, and you're not even hungry for them anymore. One thing about losing your hunger is you just don't eat for a while. You get hungry again. Well, the problem is we feed ourselves with everything else but Him. Everything else but Him. And so we're not hungry for what He has because we haven't starved ourselves. Because you've been feasting on everything but Him. The Lord says, it's time for a spiritual fast of other things. It might be different for every single one of you, that God's calling you to give up something that has been what's feeding your spirit man. You can't look at your neighbor and judge them for what it is that they're still doing when the Lord's told you not to. Neither can you just take what they're doing and apply it to yourself. Because the Lord's got something that He's dealing with in you right now. Your own personal fast. Until you become hungry for what He has. He's a God that said, you can find Me if you search for Me with all your heart. He says, call to Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. The secret of the Lord is with those that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. This morning I'm going to ask the worship team to come again. I can't make you hungry. I just know that the Lord's saying the table's set. I can't make you want Him. I can't make you search for Him with all your heart. But He's saying, seek Me while I may be found. Let's stand together and pray. The altar will be open for those who need to just come and spend time in His presence. Maybe it will be as an actual altar, that an Old Testament model where something was brought and laid down as a sacrifice. Altar wasn't a pretty thing. It's a place where something had to die. The altar will be available for those who need to just come and lay something down. For those who need prayer, if you'll just come to the front and stand and look like you want somebody to pray with you, we got more than enough people who are capable to handle that. If the Lord's calling you to surrender, if the Lord's inviting you to eternal life and you've never made that step and you want to take the step this morning, for those of you who've just been playing the game, whatever it is that the Lord is moving in your heart to do this morning, you have the opportunity to respond. If you don't respond, it's no one else's fault. Because God's offering the invitation. Father, as we stand in your presence, Father, I seem so ill-equipped to be able to speak the things that you're speaking. Unqualified. And yet, Lord, you didn't ask me if I wanted to. You just gave me the message. So, Father, as unqualified as I am, I just stand and offer to you this morning. Father, I've spoken what I heard you say. It's up to you and the power of the Holy Ghost to take those words that have spoken and penetrate the heart, to break down the walls, to bring life where there's been no life, to bring water where there's been nothing but dryness. So we surrender this moment to you right now, God, and say, have your way. Man can't do it. The flesh can't do it. Even the most well-prepared sermons couldn't do it, Lord. But you can by your Spirit. So we relinquish the control to you, saying, have your way. Lord, be glorified. Father, I pray that every ear would hear what you're speaking, not my words, but you. That every heart would understand. Lord, it says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him, but he has revealed them by the Spirit. Lord, we free you this morning. Holy Spirit, come. Minister what I can't, what the worship team can't, what the whole pastoral staff can't worship. To minister this morning, we ask that you would do. Have your way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.